right, I tell you. Now, guys, let me tell you. I tell you that song, Brother Finley, Brother John. Boy, that was just, oh, man. That brought tears to my eyes. If that doesn't stir your soul that the blood is still there, there's something deep, bad, wrong. You're jaded. Amen? You're spiritually callous. It's time to rip the callousness off tonight. Amen? Praise God. And I thank God we can still sing about the blessed old book.
Amen.
Hey, and it ain't your interlinear Greek, amen, that they went to the stake for, academias, okay? It's God's word. God gave us his word. He preserved his word. It's a precious word. It is perfect word.
Amen.
If you want to take it up, we can talk later. It's all right. Anyway, I thank God for those who are willing to die and stand for God's word. Perfect word. Yeah, I do make a lot about the Bible issue, and I always will, because that book is God's word.
Amen.
And so I'm excited to be able to preach from God's book one more time, and I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm thankful Pastor Ledbetter let me come to this meeting. I've been asked to talk about leadership a little bit tonight. Personally, now you're going to think this is nonsense at first, but maybe you won't. Some of you agree, some of you won't. But I'd like to say a few things about leadership. Leadership is not about appearance. All right, let's pray first. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the word of God. Jesus, we thank you so much for the blood that cleanses us eternally. Thank you, Jesus, for truth. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, God. I believe, without exaggeration, I believe that this is the most important room in Ireland tonight, anywhere on this island. God, I mean that as honestly as I can say to you. And God, there's hope in this room. There are servants in this room. There are leaders in this room. And God, please help me to say things that will help them and be a blessing to them tonight. Lord Jesus, please help them to preach. And God, we beg you and plead with you, beseech you, if you don't come back tonight, bless the preaching tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen. Leadership is an interesting thing. And I personally believe with all my heart that I am not a good leader. I do not have a lot of ability as a leader. Okay? I have the opportunity to pastor. Guys, come on. I'm 5'4". People have not been taking me very seriously for 42 years, okay? Right? Do you understand? Do you know what it's like to do this all your life? It's one thing when you're 8. You understand? Gentlemen, please remove the strange woman from this meeting.
You got the full project.
Amen. Take him home. Man, don't bring him next year, would you? All right, Kieran. Okay, buddy. All right, so anyway. You know, there are people that have, and a lot of the world looks at someone, okay? Yeah. They look at someone, they look at the stature, they look at the physical appearance of a man, they look at the beauty of a woman. Now, I won't get started on that yet, okay? Also, as far as a mind, okay? And I'm not saying this to joke, I'm being seriously. When I was going through secondary school, I cheated to get my leave cert. It's a different system than here, and it is possible to cheat and actually get your leave cert. I wasn't saved, and that's what I did. I barely got D's and F's, and I did very poorly in school. I do not have an academic mind, and yet the world looks at a leader and says, isn't his brain so big? Isn't he so scholastic? Isn't he so intelligent? Doesn't he have a wonderful vocabulary? And they say that man is a leader, or they look at a big man or a strong man or a beautiful woman and say, there's a leader. And they look at the ability to speak or to practice diplomacy and they say, there goes a great leader. Pastor Ledbetter has asked me to speak on a subject, and I'm going to try to follow that subject to the best of my ability. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about the purpose of a Christian's life. Before we get into leadership, you have to learn to be a follower. Amen. You'll never lead until you can follow. The purpose of the Christian life is first to honor God. It's a new life. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. And the only way you will honor God, bring glory to God, and please God is by doing the will of God. Now, that sounds like a nice principle. Let me give you a practical a manifestation of that. The will of God is just doing what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. We think it's this mystical, strange concept where we go some slay some spiritual dragon in some dark celestial realm. The will of God is getting up in the morning and reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
The proverb a day does keep the devil away. The psalm still makes your soul sweet.
Amen.
And you need that book to get you through this life.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, the will of God. Did you read your Bible this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
You did the will of God.
Amen.
Wow, isn't that profound? Did you pray a little bit when you got up this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
You did the will of God. You honored the Lord. You did what He wanted. He's happy. We think that the will of God is changing the face and the course of the world. It is. We'll get there. But right now, let's be very practical and individual. Did you pray this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Did you pray for the meetings this week? Amen.
Amen.
I sure did. We sure did on our way down. We did in the room as well. I hope you did as well. You see, if you will pray, God will give you something.
Amen.
He will.
Amen.
You see, let me say it another way. If you will pray, God will give you something. If you feed a very hungry man, he will eat. If you're full, you push the food away and say, no thanks. But if you're, God, give me something. I need something. I needed that sermon. I needed that sermon. I need parts of that sermon. God gave me something. There's other parts I didn't need. I know people that needed them. And I know that some of you needed those other parts. You understand? But God will give you something if you're looking for it. If you're looking for it. And if you read this morning, and did you sing when it was time to sing? I know that he sang and he sang and he sang and he sang. But did you sing when he said, let's sing one of these days? One of these days. Did you put it out there for the Lord? Did you take the breath that God gave you and did you sing to him? We're going home with Jesus one of these days. Did you sing about his precious word that he lifts above his name?
Yeah.
Think about that statement. The psalmist said that God lifts his word, the Bible, above his own name. And the Bible says, at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And yet, God says that book's more important than that name. Think about the depth of that. That's a whole nother thought for another day. Did you read God's word? Are you listening to the best of your ability? Or are you checking out? Is the devil whispering in your ear criticisms already? Tonight, the first sermon, this sermon, or whatever it may be. Where are you at right now? Are you doing the will of God? If you're doing the will of God right now, you're honoring. Jesus said, occupy until I come. That means stay real busy. Stay real busy. Pray and work. Work and pray. Pray and work. What does it mean to occupy? It means that, first of all, you go find a lost guy and you get him saved. Amen?
Amen.
You get him saved. You tell somebody about Jesus. Now, they may not be listening like they used to listen in the old days, but you need to still be telling somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
I got on the phone with a woman from the All Ireland Outreach Track. By the way, I want to just share a blessing and testimony for our church. The All Ireland Outreach Track, the gospel track that went to every home. The first person to call was in our area, and the first person to call wanted more information. And her name is Monica. She's in her 50s. And the first person that got saved from that whole 150,000 euro project, is that right? About right? Man, that's a blessing. Declan, his wife, got to lead her to the Lord.
Yeah.
She's been to church 3 times, and she's begging me, please can I have a Bible study? Please will somebody do discipleship with me? Amen!
Amen.
That's occupying.
Amen.
We've got to stay busy for Jesus Christ.
Jesus
Christ wants us to keep telling people because hell is a real place, and real people are still going to go there. We need to keep telling people about Jesus and establishing churches in this country.
Yes.
And establishing them and having them led by the natives.
Yes.
Say, who are the natives? Those who live in the high mountains of the Amazon villages?
Yes.
Those who have loincloths and spears in the South Pacific Islands? Those who are born here.
Yes.
Those who will live here and those who will die here if Jesus don't come back. They must lead the way. They must lead the way. Do you understand? You know what I would like to see? Now, I mean, we have to do things the way Pastor Ledbetter set up. You know what would be awesome to come to this thing 1 year? Is to have a man stand here who's Irish guy, lead, do all the song leading.
Amen.
Have an Irish guy do all the preaching.
Yes, sir.
All the preaching.
Yes.
I'm not telling you, I don't have to preach at this thing. I'd be just glad to sit next to my son and say amen and encourage you on and watch you go, man. Amen?
Yeah.
You understand? I love listening to preaching just as much as I like doing it. And so we need to keep establishing churches and encouraging and training people and discipling people. Moses was not allowed to go into the land, but Joshua was to lead the way. We have to be a people that walk in the Spirit. We have to be a people who are ordained of God to do the task and the work of God in the leadership that God has given us. We must do these things. It must come to play. Now, I'm just getting started, so it's going to take a little while. We're going to look at a few verses right now. Let's turn the Bible to Deuteronomy, okay? Deuteronomy, verse number 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37, 38. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 37 and 38. Again, it's a familiar passage. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 37 and 38. The Bible says, verse 37, "Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither." God talking about Moses not going in. 38, "Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Joshua was going in the land. Moses was not allowed to go into the land. He had to stay back because he sinned against God. He smote the rock twice, etc. But Joshua was going into the land. Do you know what that tells me about people? Everybody's expendable. Do you understand that? You're not so important in God's plan that God can't find somebody else and use somebody else and do a better job with somebody else. Remember, Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's palace, and yet God chose to use Joshua, who was raised in the mud pits of slavery. Moses had the degree and the education. Joshua had a strong back from a whip and a lot of scars, probably. And God chose Joshua to take the people into the land. Now, we're going to look at some more verses. Let's go to Numbers chapter 27, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Number 27. Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Let's look at verse number 18. Numbers chapter 27, verse number 18. Numbers, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses, like I said. We'll go in the New Testament next. Number 27, verse 18. Now, God says in Numbers 27, verse 18, "In the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do..."
Numbers 27.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I just got off there. My mind is racing. 18, ready? "And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." God said that he had a spirit upon him. God said, put him up front. God said, put some honor upon him because his spirit, and put him before the people. Listen, folks, get a hold of this. Men, please, get a hold of this thing. I haven't even started my sermon, so you can calm down, all right? We're just getting an introductory work here, okay? He said, put him up in the front, give him some honor, let him go. Do you know what we don't need? Okay, do you know what we don't need, gentlemen who are in leadership? We don't need DIY guys. Amen?
No.
The work of the ministry is not a DIY project. It is a team effort. It is a training effort. I'm telling you, I know a good man who's a good pastor of a good church, but nobody can lead songs like that guy. He's back in the United States. Nobody can preach like him. Nobody can teach Sunday school like him. Nobody can teach the children. Nobody can soul win like him. And nobody's allowed to do nothing. And do you know what has happened when I went back to his church the first time I preached and the next time I preached? it's dying. You can only do it for so long by yourself. You got to find some Joshuas. You got to train some men. And let me stop. That's not the problem in this room. The problem is too many men who could be a Joshua and should be a Joshua, yeah, won't be a Joshua. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? We need some Joshuas who are going to start being willing to do what they are. Oh, well, Craig. Now, you know, I hear some 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year, 18-year-old kid call him Craig. It just grates my nerves, boy. You ain't a Joshua. You're arrogant. He's God's man. He's God's man. And you're a 15-year-old. He ought to be Pastor Ledbetter to you. Pastor Ledbetter. That's called humility. I like the one, JoJo. How old are you?
Almost 60.
Almost 60. And do you know what he said? I have a great pastor. I have a great pastor. That's humility. You see the difference between arrogance and humility? Young men, learn your place. Learn your place, die to self, and get on board and become a Joshua. Never become too big to be humble. Boy, I tell you what, some people won't do the work and they won't be a Joshua. Scrub the toilets. Oh, man. Hey, I scrub the toilets in our church building. I do. I scrub the toilets in our building. I get on my hands and knees and wipe the baseboards. I don't have a problem with that. But you know what I also know? I got a bunch of guys that'll do it as well.
Amen.
Will you scrub the toilets? Will you take out the trash? Will you pick up the gum wrappers? Will you die to self and do the work of Jesus Christ? Amen. Become a Joshua. Die to self. All right? And that is what's going to make a difference in this country. We need to walk with the Lord, serve the Lord in the spirit of humility. In the spirit of humility. Now let's look at another verse. We'll talk about the calling of God and leadership. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Amen. Let's look at these verses together now at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And the Word of God says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency, saved people, our sufficiency is of God. Amen. Praise His name. Who also hath made us able ministers. We can do the job because He's our sufficiency. Of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, let me say this. We have the sufficiency to get the job done. We have the same God Moses had. We have the same God Elijah had. We have the same God that Peter and Paul and James and John had. You have the same God. And not only that, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling and living inside of you. And He's never going to leave you. Let's get busy and be a bunch of Joshuas for Christ. Come on, man. It can be done. Look at what's in this room. Would to God we had a room like this in every church every Sunday morning filled with this many. Whoa, man. Big time stuff. This island would be changed forever. Forever. In eternity. Guys, I had a preacher in my church, and one of the guys who teaches at the school I go to here on the island. His name is Dr. Strauss, Tom Strauss. He made a little statement one time when he was preaching in my church. He basically said, do you know that God... Think about this. It's not real deep, but it's amazing. We read the book of Acts and we think about they turned the world upside down. The place was shaken when they prayed. Do you know the book of Acts is a book of church history? Do you know that God tonight is still writing church history in Ireland? You're a part of history. Look, when the lads were standing in the GPO and they're firing the guns, you understand? They weren't thinking about, I'm writing history. They were thinking, I'm going to get killed. You understand? But they live in history. When George Washington took the troops and they marched them through Valley Forge and they bled and their feet were bleeding in the snow, they weren't thinking, I'm writing history. They're thinking, my toes are going to fall off from frostbite. Guys, when it gets bad and the battle's heavy and church is hard and the devil's attacking and he's trying to shut down the RTE commercials for the track, something's missing. Remember what's going on. We're God's writing church history. We're part of eternal history. That's amazing. You pray for the track outreach commercials. They're trying to stop it. That's the devil, man. The devil's had this island long enough. He started local New Testament pubs. And he's wicked, and it's trying to stop God's great work that is going on in this country. So we don't have the ability and sufficiency of ourselves. God is the one that is writing history through us. But we have the same God that those men did in the book of Acts. Now let's turn to the Ephesians. Ephesians, we'll look at another verse here for just a minute. 2 Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 7. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 7, and God says, wherefore, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the, I want you to say that next word, according to the what?
Yes.
Everybody say it, according to the what?
Yes.
Of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Hey guys, when God calls a man, now look up here for a minute, let me talk to you. When God puts his hand and reaches down through the solar system, through the atmosphere of the clouds, down into the soil, and grabs a hold of a born-again Christian soul and says, son, I want you to preach the word of God. I want you to start a church. I want you to evangelize a country. I want you to realize that is a gift of God.
Amen.
It's grace that any of us are not burning in the flames of hell forever. You understand? It's a grace that God saved you. God dusted you off and wiped you off and gave you a reason to live. And it ain't to chase a stupid ball down a pitch.
Amen.
Just sick of that stuff.
Amen.
Man alive, I'm not going to church because I have to chase a ball down a pitch. You ain't going to make the pros anyway. Why don't you make the eternal pros and get some stupid silverware? Why don't you get some eternal crowns?
Amen.
Now, nobody shouted louder when they lifted the cup for six nations more than me. Amen. Woo! I'm glad they won. I'm glad Ireland won the rugby. But I'm telling you, that stuff must never become priority anymore.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Never must come before the Lord Jesus Christ and the crowns that are laid up before us. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, by God's power. I want to encourage every man here that God has a purpose for your life, and it's bigger than you can see. And I told the men one time, I was a teacher at the men's home, you guys have got to stop thinking that God can't use you. If some of you think that, you better wake up and realize God can and will use you for something great. He can and he will. You see, all right, we're going to do a comparative here. We'll do a parallel. We're talking about leadership, right? We're going to look at the way man looks at it and God looks at it, okay? All right, I need you to come up here, all right? Just stand over there, okay? Let's do some comparison. Let's compare. I'm called to preach. It's a gift from God. Are you called to preach?
Yes, sir.
It's a gift from God. Amen? Okay. Did you do well in school, in secondary school?
Yes, sir.
Did you get a good report? Did you get a lot of F's?
No.
I did. Did you get a lot of D's?
No.
I did. Okay. So you're fairly smart. I'm not. Okay. Can you sing? Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Okay. But did you travel all summer long with a college ensemble group going from church to church singing? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Can you sing? Yes. He's smart. He's talented. Do you play instrument? Okay. He's talented. Okay. Well, his wife thinks he's handsome, but anyway, we'll go there. All right. We will go there. All right. So now, okay. Now, are you a Baptist preacher?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was your grandfather a Baptist preacher?
My grandfather, no. My great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather was a Baptist preacher. But your great-grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Your grandfather was a Baptist?
Yes.
believe the book, saved on his way to heaven, born again. We all understand that Baptists don't get you into heaven, amen?
No.
But you understand, doctrinally sound, immersion, etc. Okay. Your dad's a Baptist. He's a deacon, is he not? Okay. You're a Baptist preacher, are you not? Want to talk about a goodly heritage?
Yeah.
What a lineage. That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. That's pretty good. He's qualified to do the job. Do you know what I am? I cheated to get a leave, sir. You understand? Number two. I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. I don't do anything musical. And yet, you know what? By the way, the Lord's allowed me to train 3 song leaders in my church that have led songs. It's a gift of God. You understand? And you know what? I'm not the son of a Baptist or the son of a grandson of a Baptist preacher. I'm the son of a drunkard. I'm the son of a whoremonger. I'm the son of a wicked wife beater. And that's what I am, and that's what I was headed to be, and that's the direction I was going. But that dude got pulled out of the same filthy pit that this guy did.
Yeah.
Stop making excuses! Stop making excuses! You don't want to do it. You can do it. You can, by God's grace, if you're called, there's a gift. There's a gift. But I praise God for his heritage.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I want for my children. You understand? Yeah, yeah. The chain stops here.
Amen.
You want to talk about insecurity, inferiority complex? Man, 5'4". Huh? Flunky in school. My father used to beat me senseless. 7 years old, I'd pray. Oh, that's the only praying I ever do. I was looking at God. Please don't let him come home. Please don't let him go. I can't take it anymore. Talk about a nervous kid. Inferiority. You guys at the mental, you know my story. I've gone into detail with those guys how bad it was. Stop making excuses.
Amen.
Joshua's don't make excuses. They get, and yet, now look at this guy. Pretty qualified to do it. But it's not qualified. It's called.
Amen.
Okay? And yet, he lets me, after all the nice things we just said about him, he lets me tell him what to do.
Yeah.
Servitude.
Amen.
Servitude. He's been in my church for 1 year and 3 months. Do you know how many missionaries I've seen come into a work and hurt the work and hurt the guy who's knocked his head against the wall and hurt the guy who's prayed and cried and split that thing and watched it fall apart because the devil got in, and then the young guy comes in, I know everything. I've got the pedigree. Joshua doesn't do that. He comes in and he just gets on board and he gets in the program. In 1 year and 3 months, we've had 2 arguments, and I'm convinced for sure one of them was just my own stupidity. And you know what he said? You're my friend. I love you.
Amen.
You're my preacher, and I'm for you and I'm behind you.
Amen.
Joshua. You understand? Not Korah. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and sit down, brother. We don't need no Korahs. Okay, that's qualified. Okay. All right. We know he's ugly. Amen? All right.
At least one mark against
him. At least one. You got to leave one. I'm not even finished, guys. Amen. I brought my own fanatical zealots. Amen?
Amen.
You know what I mean? They love Jesus. What can I say? All right. All right. Stand up, buddy. Come on. All right. Can you make your way out? Okay. There it is. Good looking. Tall. You understand what I mean as far as a deportment, physical characteristics. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you get your degree from, your master's? Anybody ever heard of that place?
No.
Peasants. Then nobody down here has the Leaf Cert in court. That's the problem. They never heard of it. Listen. Oh, there it is. Educated. Tall. Got the physical stature and appearance. You understand? He's got a degree in what kind of engineering? Civil?
Civil
environmental engineering degree. You know what he lets me do? Teach him the Bible.
Amen.
Teach him the Bible. Teach him the Bible. Gets on board. Gets involved. Listen, I need you to go see this guy. Can you go see him? Go see him. Gets involved.
Amen.
Teaches them the Bible. All right. That's brother. That's it. Your good looks is enough. That's it. There you go. Big, tall guy. You understand? When you're called of God, it's not how tall you are. It's not how your heritage is a Baptist line. The call of God is a gift of God.
Amen.
And then when you have the call of God and the gift of God upon your life, you need to learn to be a Joshua. Can I tell you a confession right now? And my guys are probably sick of hearing me say this because they know it's true. Now, you guys, you don't have to scream amen, but you say amen if I've said this before, and you know I've said this several times, Declan in private and publicly from the pulpit. I never wanted to be the first man or the pastor in the church. Right, guys?
Amen.
All I ever wanted to be was the guy that sat on the front row,
yep,
waved his Bible, said, "You're a good preacher.
Yep.
Come on, preacher. I'm for you, preacher. I don't care if they're ready to throw you out. I'll fight them one by one for you, preacher, and stand with you."
Yep.
I wanted to be the Joshua. I wanted to be the Aaron and the Hur that held up,
yep,
the man of God. That's all I ever wanted. That's all I was ever good at. Nobody takes a little guy seriously. Well, never mind. I won't start those jokes. Okay, never mind. So do you understand my point? Die to self, and God will stick you maybe not where you want to be, but He sure will use you in a great way. He can. It's a gift of God when you're called of God to be in the work of God. And God will give you wonderful Joshuas to train in the future. I can't do all the song leading. I can't do all the Sunday school teaching. You can't either, brothers. And we must start training men, because what this country needs is strong, spiritually faithful Christian men.
Amen.
Christian men.
Amen.
Men who aren't afraid to open their mouth and say amen.
Amen.
You don't back your preacher up with agreement, man. Man, you got laces on your britches. Say amen to the guy. I'm sure he won't run you out. I'm sure he'll be glad. Golly gumptions, guy. I always have to do the hard work. I was the bad guy, but that's all right. We'll just keep going for now. All right, listen. Church needs faithful men who are stable men, who are following the preacher. When Elijah went to the cleaners, Elisha said, "Where are you going, Elijah?" "I'm taking my camel hair suit to the cleaners." And he was right behind him. And when Elijah would go and get a haircut, and he'd stop, boom, Elisha was right behind him. And he'd get his haircut, and he'd say, "I'm getting a haircut just like Elisha." Now, I'm not talking about cookie-cutter Christianity, clone Christianity. We all lived and died and breathed that stuff in the 80s and 70s. That stuff done away with. You understand? You don't have to wear glasses like the pastor wears the glasses. And you don't have to comb your hair like the girl. You don't have to cough like the preacher coughs. And you don't have to preach like a preacher preaches. But man alive, you ought to know that, dude.
Amen.
You should, "Oh, that's man worship." Follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Well, isn't that a neat idea? Who said that? Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. When he goes against the book, you tell him in private, "Look, I love you, man, but that's not what the Bible says." And then if he still won't hear the Bible, then you go, "Hey, look, two of us, hey, I love you, preacher, but that's not what the book says." And then that's a different story. But as long as he's following God, "You follow me as I follow Christ" is what Paul wrote in the Bible. Now, I'll give you a practical example of that. Declan's called to preach in our church. I can only use things in my life. I can't use yours too much. But you know what? Besides my wife and my children, nobody can anticipate what I'm thinking or my next move will be like Declan can. It's true. Ask Patty, was making jokes today. He says, "Oh, we got the Declan thing going on." He's saying what, because Patty started to say something that I had, was just about to say. Because that's what Declan does. He anticipates what I'm going to do because he's saying, "Well, you know, this is the pastor, and so I should watch and learn."
Amen. Amen.
Watch and learn. Don't learn my bad weaknesses. But learn the things that I do right. And guys, some of you, look, hey, pay attention when I'm preaching, amen? I've been praying a lot of weeks about this thing,
amen.
Okay? Now listen, you need to follow your pastor. Follow the leader that God has given you. Every married man in this room wants his wife to follow him. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you sure do. So do I. Amen. Listen, you ought to follow your pastor.
Amen.
Servanthood. There's two kinds of leadership in our movement, if you want to call it our movement. I won't refer to the movement you referred to earlier tonight. Some of them sleep on that one. All right, listen. There's two kind of movements, leadership. There's one philosophy says that a pastor is like, now these are words that actually come out of guys' mouths. Pastor is like a king in the Old Testament, stately and of grandeur. And he is to lead God's chosen people unto victory. That's one movement of leadership in Independent Baptist. There's another mindset that says, you know what? I don't think myself a king. I think myself a servant.
Yes.
And then I get real neo-evangelical and I say, What would Jesus do? Some of you guys get that, some of you don't. What would Jesus do? Which philosophy would Jesus go with? Would Jesus say, I'm a king? And he is the king, amen? He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords, and blessed be his name forever and ever. Hallelujah, amen. And I'm going home with Jesus one day. But what would Jesus do? Would he treat it as, if he was pastoring, and he did, would he treat it as a king? Or would he treat it as a servant? But you know what I remember reading in the Gospels? Do you know what I remember reading? I remember about reading about God who created the universe, getting down on his hands and knees and start rubbing feet. You say, does that bother you? Mm. Why would that bother me? Mm. He deserves double honor. He's God's man. You better believe it. He's God's man. He's God's man. Do you understand? Jesus was a servant.
Amen.
Who are you and I? You say, oh. Who are you or I to think we're anything? A servant. It's good to serve. It's great to serve. Learn to serve.
Amen.
Learn to help. Learn to get involved. Learn not to be bored when preaching's going on. Listen. Not everyone is dynamic. Not everyone is emotional. Not everyone has good voice inflection. Not everyone has an easy voice to listen to. Some guys are dry. Some guys are drone. Some guys are monotone. But if you're a hungry man and you have a servant's heart, you're going to say, God, there's a guy up there that you put in my path to listen to every Sunday, every Wednesday. He has something I need to hear. And even if he doesn't, he may have something that you need to hear what not to do. You can learn from him, too. And you need to give yourself to the sermon. It's the will of God to listen. Now, I'll be done soon. Well, maybe not real soon, but I'll be done sooner or later. And then it won't be God's will to listen. But right now, it's God's will to listen. And so while I'm preaching and while the next man is preaching, you be praying. I'm already praying for Brother Hill and Brother Kelly and Pastor Ledbetter's preaching. Who else is preaching? Anyone? Brother Everly, I'll be praying for you now. My guys, I promise you, my guys, and I'll be praying for you. We're looking forward to preaching. We want preaching. We like preaching. We don't want pubs. We don't want football. We want gospel Bible preaching from a King James Bible. Amen. God is good. And so we need to become leaders and servants in our home. What is our goal as a man? What do we want this weekend as a man? What do we want to do as leaders? We want our entire family saved. Amen. You need to lead your home. By the way, she should not lead your home.
Right.
And by, none of us here, guys, please, look, I know. None of us here would say, that's right, my wife leads my home. That's right, she's in charge. None of us would ever do that verbally or even consciously. But in practice and outward manifestation, you watch the relationship, how she controls the situation. She really is leading the situation. And it's not of God, and she doesn't really want it in her spirit if she's right with God.
Yeah,
right. Can somebody say amen?
Yeah.
If you understand what I just said, at least say amen so I know I'm getting through. Amen? You understand that? She's not to lead your home. She's not to guide the direction and make the decisions. Now, she has the Holy Spirit of God in her. You listen to her. You talk to her. But at the end of the day, buddy, you've got to lead the home.
That's right.
I watch too many unsaved people. You know, he's just, he's just a pint tipper.
Yeah.
He's the football screamer. And he'll bust your head in if you mess with him or say a bad word. But she runs his world.
Yeah.
Guys, that's not manhood. You need to lead your home. And it doesn't mean you come in, I'm the man. Hey, guilty.
Yeah.
I've done it too many times. I'm the man. I'm the man. You do what I say. You understand? It doesn't help. It doesn't work. And nobody believes you. Guys, be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Be in a mindset of prayer. Think about the Word of God. Keep a clean mind. Keep a straight mind so you can lead your family.
Amen.
Lead your children. I promised my son I wouldn't tease him, so I won't pick on him. But he was a blessing today. That's all I want to say. All right? He was a blessing to my... I'm glad he's with me. That's what I can say. And he can hear great preaching today and tomorrow. And I'm thankful that he can hear Bible preaching. You need to pray for your children. You need to lead your family. You need to lead your wife. And you need to love your wife. And you need to love your children. And by the way, any of you guys who have wives who are going to have babies, shame on you if you haven't prayed for that child's salvation the moment you found out it was conceived in the womb. Amen. Man, I was praying for Justin's baby before he was born. I've been praying for Declan's baby and Bethany's baby before it's born. When's how many weeks? How many? Three to go. You know what they're going to name it? Fikra. My favorite Irish name, Fikra. I love that name. It's great. What does it mean in Irish, Ben, in English? What'd you say Fikra means? All right, okay. That's my favorite name. I like that name. It's an old name. So, all right. So, anyway... All right, name him Habakkuk, amen? All right, so, all right. So, anyway, pray for salvation. Pray for your wives. Love your wives. Honor your wife as the weaker vessel. Be a man at work and stand when they mock you and they make fun of Jesus. And here we go again. And they make fun of Jesus and all these things happen. You stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and you do us right. We need faithful men. We need trained men. Men who will listen to their pastor, learn from their pastor, to be discipled. We need discipleship in our churches. We need men who will work in a team. We already covered that with our illustration demonstration. We need people who will stay faithful, full of faith, stay in church, be instant in season, out of season. And we need preachers who will reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time shall come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll never tell someone they're going to hell. They'll never beckon with the hand. They won't cry out, lift up, spare not, like a trumpet, like the Bible says, let it fly once in a while. Everybody wants somebody who'll just come up and, you know, God loves you. God wants you to just stay the way you are in your sin and stupid. Hey, we need preaching. Bible preaching. Life-changing preaching. That's what keeps people out of hell. That's what makes a difference. And folks, so let me keep moving here. Obey God when the Holy Spirit prompts you and impresses you. Listen as a Joshua to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your first and foremost Moses in your life. Worship God. Read the Bible. Listen to preaching. Stay in prayer. Stay close to Jesus. Think about the Bible. When the devil puts filthy thoughts and bad thoughts in your head, you think about the Bible. Don't leave your family behind. Bring them along. Don't leave them spiritually in the dust. They need to be with you, inboard, on board, and on the way. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will, because we already have, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to make a confession. And I'm excited about this. I really am. As the leader of my home, my wife and I have gone 2 weeks where I haven't lost my temper, raised my voice, blown a gasket, or anything. I'm excited, man. I'm dead serious. I haven't. What are you doing? We're going to be late. Come on, those kids got to get ready. Get this done. 2 weeks. I mean, man, that's great. For me, that's great. Now, you may not have that weakness of anger and temper and blowing your stack over stuff. You may be more the guy that's kind of timid and she kind of doesn't lead you, but she knows how to work you and manipulate you to control you. Hey, that's just as bad as me who's blowing his gasket as well. So between there's everybody. Don't let her lead your home, but don't be a dictator either. Both are not of Christ. Be Spirit-filled, be Spirit-led. Serve her, serve the children, love them, but don't let them guide the direction in the end. You'll have to answer the Lord for these things. Right. Now's my sermon. Now's my sermon. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Now's my sermon. Proverbs chapter 16. I love the Lord. I love the Bible. And I love you guys. And I'm thankful for each man that represents each local New Testament church here. Proverbs chapter 16. Now I'm going to do my preaching. I'm so excited. I am. Seriously, I love it. It's a blessing. I want to give you an illustration. I'm going to keep preaching. Proverbs chapter 16. In the military, they teach you leadership and followership. The problem with the military, and I was in the military, so I can say this. The problem with the military, it's a dictatorship leadership. It's not like they really care about you. The man cares about you. Oftentimes they don't. Sometimes they do camaraderie in combat. That is true. But you can't lead like the military with the church. But I want to give you an illustration or a statement from the Army Rangers. I was never in the Army. I was in the Marines in a different part of the military. But the Army Rangers have a slogan that says this. Rangers lead the way. Rangers lead the way. You need to lead the way. If you're a husband, you need to lead your home. If you're the pastor, you need to lead your church. If you're the Sunday school teacher, you need to lead your Sunday school class. If you're the older kid in the family, you lead the way. With attitudes, actions, spirituality, we lead the way. And now I want to show you some areas in your life to help you that you need to lead the way. Many years ago, there was a man named Dan Daly who was in the Marines. He was a sergeant major. And this is what he said as they attacked the Germans in World War I. He said, come on, boys, what do you want to do, live forever? Hey, throw yourself into it. Don't worry about it. God will take care. He'll get you through. All right, let's look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. The Bible says, he that is slow to anger, it's not wrong to anger, but slow to anger, is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, guys, I want you to think, in the days of the Proverbs, what it took to take a city, a walled city. Man, everybody knows in combat, it's simple as this. He who has the high ground has the advantage in the war. It's not impossible, but they have the advantage. He who's on the wall in the brick city and he who stands down below looking up saying, we got to take this thing, are at a disadvantage. But I want you to see what the Bible verse said. It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit. Can you... do you, will you control your spirit? Right now, your spirit, your flesh, is dictating your spirit. It's hot in here. I can't focus. Yeah, can we crack the door for the guys back there if they're a little bit warm? I know how it goes. But listen, deny your flesh and you're controlling your spirit. You need to control your spirit. You need to lead your own spirit. You're better than a warrior general who can take a city, who has to fight uphill, tear down the walls, climb over the walls, kill the enemy, the bad guys on the inside. You're a better man if you can control your own spirit. Practical manifestation is very simple, guys. Control your spirit in your thought life. Control your spirit in your emotions. We live in a day and age where years ago, the guy put on dark glasses, a dark hat, and a dark coat, and he walked into a dirty shop in the dirty section of town. We live in a day and age where those were the infidel people. That stuff's not out in the streets. That's in the church. It's everywhere. Pornography is everywhere. If we wanted to take the church computer that's back there on the internet, we could put pornography on it right now. It's everywhere, guys. And you have got to control your spirit. You've got to start here. Amen. At least external manifestation. Guys, you have got to get victory over that stuff. Amen. It has got to get out of your life. You say, but even if it's out of your life, you got to start thinking about whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think about Jesus. Think about the Word of God. You need victory in these areas. Come on, guys. Now, listen. If you have, I've never done this, honestly, Brother Craig, as far as I know, Pastor Ledbetter, as far as I know, I've never, ever done this from the pulpit. I've never promoted a film from the pulpit, okay? And I want to suggest to you, and I'm going to get stoned late, that's okay. I'm going home Saturday, amen? Amen. If you have a problem with pornography, I would encourage you to watch and I admit it's a neo-evangelical film, okay? It's a very good film. The music in it stinks and God don't like it. It's got a few little, you can mute it, but it deals with a man and his wife and his pornography. It's called Fireproof.
Very good.
Anybody seen that? Okay. Guys, pastors, I'm sorry if that offends you. I didn't mean to. I want to help you. It's about a man who has a pornography problem and he gets victory in it through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a good film, and I bought it for our church, and we're going to watch it eventually.
Amen.
But you need to get control of your own spirit. Lead the way in your own spirit. Lead the way in your own home, as Joshua said. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You must lead the way. You must lead the way in Bible reading and prayer and talking to Jesus Christ and seeing prayers answered in your life. You've got to learn to lead the way in discipleship. You've got to learn to lead the way in ministry. And you've got to lead the way in this country. It has to be done. You have to die to self. You have to become a ranger. You have to lead the way. Okay. I'm almost done. I know some of you are tired. It's been a long night. But listen. God's writing church history.
Amen.
God's looking for some servants. So get down on their knees and serve people through the person of Jesus Christ. Joshua wasn't looking for a job. He was just looking to be faithful.
Yes, sir.
Faithful. Beg your pastor to let you be discipled. Beg your pastor to let you get involved. When he says, you want to be involved in ministry? Here, clean the toilets. You want to be involved in ministry? Here, wipe the floors. Learn to get involved in the work of God. Now look, you know what? 90% of you guys don't need what I just said, that little bit right there. But there's still the 10% with an attitude who need an attitude adjustment. Amen? The Lord knows who needs what. And I love you and I thank God for you. And I will be praying for you this weekend. But learn to lead the way. And learn to be a Joshua. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we had. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Jesus, if you don't come back, I'm asking you to bless those who'll be preaching. I'm asking you to be honored by the songs of praise. And God, I don't know if this sermon helped, but I sure pray to God that you will use it, Lord, in somebody's life, even if it's just a few. We love you. We're thankful for the night. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pastor Ledbetter.